Okay, so, it's getting the supplies.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where to go?
You don't, yeah, I don't know where to go, and maybe there is other people that are interested in beadwork, and maybe that is what their problem is, they don't know where to go. Quills, I have no idea where to get quills. And leather, like real, like deer hide is mostly what they want, is deer hide. And I didn't even know that there was any places that you could get it anywhere. Until she told me. But the only places that I knew was in Brantford and Wapoo. I don't even know if Wapoo sells deer hide there either or not. These places, you think they would send out things, wouldn't they? But I suppose if you don't request them, they ain't going to send them out either. I think that's what they should do, though, is all the bands. There's a lot of band offices. They could send them out to all the band offices. The names and addresses of where beads, quills, leather, anything that they have to work with. For round hoops. And I think, like when I, like myself, when I come to buy material, I would like to buy it from a native person rather than, like say a store in London or Windsor or Toronto or something, just a regular store. Because you don't really know. I don't know what it is. How do you say it to you?
Basically, I feel that you should buy off your own people to help them be able to keep their business going rather than native, because everybody else would go. How many, if you had a native store and it was solely selling beads and those kids, how many people, how many non-native people?
But not
people
only
would
that, not
buy?
Only that, what? I think the store is off the reserve, or that's not run by natives. They overcharge for a lot of things. Like, there's one store here that sells beading needles and a few beads, and they will try to get as much money for them as they can because they know that it's scarce around here. And I pay a lot of money for beads, for one little bag of beads. If I buy it in the store. The last time I bought a bag of beads, I paid $1.69 for one small bag. And when I first started out, it's 40, 50 cents for beads. Now the price is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. $9 a bag, and your bag is worth
$15. Mm-hmm. $9? This guy, this fella I know, he sells them for $12, $15 for a bag. That's lots of money for beads, I think. That's why some of these places that have, some of these reserves that do have their own, should send it all out to the band offices so that they would know.
And
especially to the big reserves.
My son is going to be setting up a bead store in London. He's going to be competing with this Doug McMillan I'm telling you about. And the problem with him is because of the fact that he's just starting up, it's going to cost the money for the place, that the area that he has to go into. It has to be in an area where it's going to be feasible for the people to be able to come in there, and then it's going to cost, if you're going to have room where the people can park, it's going to cost you for the parking area, it's going to cost you for the rent, the hydro, and every other thing that's going. And the charge, just getting the beads shipped from one country to the other. Like if he went to, let's say he got an address for Japan, but he got an address for Czechoslovakia, I mean, you're shipping those. And a lot of times, too, you have to put that in with the price of the beads.
Doesn't Hudson Bay have a mail order? But I don't really like doing mail orders.
You have to know for sure if you have a mail order that the company is good.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're going to get good stuff and count on.
That's why, like, I was thinking about that. I heard that there was a mail order one, and I was thinking about ordering some stuff that way. But then I wouldn't really know what
mail
would...
order, and they've got really good hides.
Yeah.
And if you're not satisfied with one of the hides, you can always send it back, and they'll either exchange it for a good one, or they'll give you your money back on that one piece of hide.
Uh-huh. That's...
And there's another mail order place, and they all do it in beads, but this is a...
With it being a mail order like this, does it cost more money too?
I think it would.
Yeah.
Well,
but
know,
the
it's
quality
a mixed thing.
Is better.
Sometimes it's different because if you've got to pay for, like your son,
mm-hmm.
for overhead of a building, then sometimes mail order is cheaper. It's like that's the kind of thing that would be important to compare prices on.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it would
but
be
then
more, and if it's a non-reserve thing, then they don't. There's certain taxes they don't have to
mm-hmm.
pay.
But yeah,
reserve.
But then there's okay. Say just at the spur of the moment to say, oh, I ran out of this. Now when I do that, I run out of this. Where am I gonna go? I gotta run all the way to Brantford or all the way to Walpole to get what I want. And that's no good.
Because the cost of getting you there and the cost of the beads and then the cost of coming back is
mm-hmm.
just the same as if you mail
mm-hmm.
order.
That's right.
But then if you run out and you're right in the middle of trying to get something done, that's more frustrating than anything to have to...
But if you're a beater, you'd know that you'd have to buy by the bulk to begin with. If you're doing a belt, you'd have to buy at least three to four big bags
mm-hmm.
of one color,
mm-hmm.
three to four big bags of another color, depending. If you got eight colors, then
but then if you got children too, like, okay, I had these certain beads, I was making a belt, I had these beads here. This fella comes along and makes this and that, and he takes it to his reserve. I come along to finish my belt, and my beads are gone. If you got children too, you know, you gotta.
What you have to do is put them in, lock them up.
Yeah.
I know. I have the problem. I've got two boys that do bead work, and my oldest boy does the same thing. He'll come in and he'll dig through my beads, and when I go to look for it, it's gone. Well, I just borrowed it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay you back,
mm-hmm.
but I've never seen
now,
it.
Now, see, my belt is on hold till I can get a hold of those type of beads again. I don't really like doing that either. I like to try to get, like, once I start something, I like to try to get it finished as quickly as possible. I don't like it to wait. And this fellow has been waiting now for 6 months for his belt and his hat band.
Well, when you're a beater, they have to expect that because, like, a lot of times things come up. And
mm-hmm.
But look at this guy and I made a deal. He does really nice paintings. So I said, okay, you do me a painting on this, and I'll do you a belt. So he says, well, you do the belt, and I'll do the painting. And he says, when we're finished, we'll come together and you'll have it. 10 years ago now. And we're still And we're still talking about
mm-hmm.
it out.
What other crafts do you remember that were done maybe when you were younger that you heard your parents speak about that you don't see being done anymore?
Well, like I said before, when I was younger, I was never introduced to my own culture, so I don't. But I know down here, like after I've grown older, that there is a lot. that, like basket weaving, it's nobody does that. I would like to learn it, but I don't know how to do that. I don't know how they work with the sweet grass. We had a ceremony the other day, and you know, I never knew what they smoked in that peace pipe till we had that ceremony up in Thunder Bay. Yeah. Finally. But that's what I like, you know, when you go someplace that a bunch of native people meet together, and if you can learn a little bit of your culture there, I think that, you know, that's, you really learned a lot in one day. And the fellow that was doing it, he works at the high school in Thunder Bay. He said they use sage. That's when they run out of, I already forgot what the other one was. Do you know what it is? They could smoke sage and there's something else. But all he had was sage. He said he couldn't find what they originally used. And he says when they say a prayer, and then they smoke this peace pipe. And he made us blow the smoke of the peace pipe over us, he said, to cleanse us for that day. I never knew that. I never learned that before. And I was glad I was present that day. But I think there was a lot of them there that. And then he made the big circle. Like most of them will say, well, the elder is going to say a prayer. So they pray in Indian. But that was the first time. He says, we're going to do it the way we used to do it a long time ago. And he made everybody get in a circle around the room. And then he lit the peace pipe. And he took it around to everyone that was there. And then he made everyone shake hands with everyone that was there before we got into our work. I thought that was pretty good.
I bet you. Because she told you about the pipe, about the way they do that, that's one of the pieces that shouldn't be on here.
Well,
that's part of a sacred
ceremony.
Is that religion?
It's like you praying when you're going to have a meal. Because
mm-hmm.
when you go to church, they pray,
mm-hmm.
and we do the plate, where we do. It's all different. It's to give peace to the people that are in that. So there's no bad feelings among each other.
Yeah, that's what he said.
And
mm-hmm.
the smoke is to cleanse your body of all bad feelings. It's to heal your body as well, on
mm-hmm.
the inside and the outside. It's good that they're explaining it to you, because a lot of people, they don't.
Well, it seems to me that it would be more sacred to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know all the means and why things are used.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes even more special.
Mm-hmm. See, with me learning that, I could pass that on down to my children and they'll know.
That's right.
And how old am I now? I'm 42 years old before I even learned that. And that's part of one of our...
But part of that will come back to you. You might not think you learned anything, but eventually you'll start seeing that somewhere down the line it was told to you years and years ago. Even before you were born, it was told to you what was going to be expected of you. There's a reason for everything that happens in your life, and every time that this something comes to you like this, it's given back to you. It's been given back to you. And that's why you're learning it now. Maybe you weren't meant to learn it when you were 10 or 12 or 6 or 5. Maybe you knew it before you were born. And now it's coming back. That somebody, some generation of your fathers or your grandmothers or grandfathers is bringing it to you. because they know that this is the year. This is actually the last generation that is going to know, and if people aren't going to start teaching it, it's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And along with them is going to die. Everything that's been told in the past, everything.
Mm-hmm.
What, I just lost it. Do you think that there's any special role for women in helping to preserve the culture or to revive it? Is there anything special as far as the women in Native, in the Native community, or women and families that would give them any special role in helping to preserve it? Any special responsibility?
There is a lot of people that don't know. Like she says, it is slowly going away. There isn't very many that know, and there's not very many older people that are around. And I think the only way that it's going to be preserved is through what you are doing today, because I don't think the women these days that are raising their children now, like say the ones that are in between the ages of 25 to 30 that have children that are going to school between the ages of 9 and 10, as far as Muncie goes, I don't know any of the mothers that teach their children or even know so that they can teach their children. And I think that is the only way that it is going to be taught to the generation now, is through schools or through Native education. That's the only way that it's going to be taught. That's the only, like now, there's no way. Like I think, what is it, this last 20 years? That it's slowly been going away. I learned beadwork, 20 years ago? And I didn't know anything about it then. And I come to the reserve level, and there's a lot of them here that don't know.
There's a story that was told to me a long time ago. And it was told that Native women were the backbone of Native men.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Native women was the ones that made the decisions in life. And that the men had no say, but it was the women that were.
Well, it's
where
still
the men is now, the
mm-hmm.
women was before. But because of the white person coming into their life, the role reversed where the woman is behind and the man's up on top. But the woman is slowly starting to get there too, come side by side of their husband.
Mm-hmm.
But at one time the woman was the major role in life, that they were the strongest of both sexes, that they were the strongest, and they held the power of the wisdom in them.
From what you just said, I was just thinking about when I first learned how to do beadwork. I was living in London, and I had some friends that was European. And when I think about it now, I think I sort of took it out on them. It wasn't their fault. But when I think about it now, I think I did kind of take it out on them, because somewhere along the line I didn't learn my culture, my language, and didn't even know it existed. And we had a lot, like we were friends, well we still are friends, but then how they put up with me, there's got to be something else, because I think I did go through a change after I found out that we did have a culture and I didn't know about it. Because when you were just saying that, I was just thinking that. I remember being rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you, like, but this was after I learned, and I was taking it out on my European friends, and I shouldn't have been, like.
But the reason why you feel that way is because it would be like me coming into your life and taking your child away, and never telling your child who you were or what you were. Or where you belonged in life,
mm-hmm.
and then 20 years later down the line, giving her back and say, okay, I had her, I don't want her anymore, here, you look after her. And then you expecting her to be thinking the same way you think, the same way you feel, because it happened with me. My kids were taken on me, and because I always felt I had to... The always instilled in me years and years ago, the four years of life was the major and the most important part of that child's life. If you can teach that child within those 4 to 7 years, then that child will remember everything.
But when I come to think about my parents too, I remember my dad saying that they used to get beat in school if they spoke their language. I think that's why we never learned it. I remember him saying some words sometimes in Indian because his parents spoke it. But I think that's why they never taught us, because they went through that. They got beat at school if they spoke their own language. They couldn't speak it then. And I think when I did learn about this after, that's when I start taking it out on my friends, and I'm glad that they put up with me, though. But they...
I wondered, with women being the ones taking care of the children, that it seemed that so often it's the women who are in the position to
yeah, it is.
On.
It is.
It's like a tremendous responsibility, and then, as you say, if you didn't have that knowledge, you feel almost angry because you
mm-hmm.
don't have what you want for yourself and what
mm-hmm.
you want to be able to give to your children.
But you can find it.
Yeah.
You know, they say that you can go to an elder and talk to that elder. You're my elder because you're older than me. I'm her elder because I'm older than her.
Hey, other way around.
Just wait, I'm just going to explain this. But it's not necessarily that elder you can go to might not know very much. You can always go to a person that you can understand what they're saying. Like me. No, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, like, how many people that you've met that's my age that can explain all these things to you?
I have met anybody.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to necessarily go to directly to an elder, because that elder might have been through me already to get to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll always know who knows a lot, because they'll talk to you. They'll come to you. If you want to know anything, they'll come to you and they'll tell you. They'll tell you bits and pieces. They don't always give you everything, because if they gave you everything, then your mind wouldn't work. And that's what's happening to kids today. If you give them all the answers to their questions, then
mm-hmm.
they're not going to work. They're not going to pass.
Oh, yeah.
School. They're not
mm-hmm.
going to do nothing. So with my boys, when I teach them, I'll tell them a story. If they want to know about that story, I'll tell them, sit down and think about that story. And I'll repeat my story. And a lot of times my story will change, but then they'll keep getting something different and different. And then eventually they'll say, wow, I found it. And then they can draw it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same way with you. If you want to know more, go to an elder. You might say, oh, this woman down the road is 70 years old. She doesn't know nothing. She can't hear. She can't see?
No, I don't think so, because I've had a grandfather like that.